You get out and you create a crowd. Yeah. And you push back on them. Yeah. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. And that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez, and if you are one of my listeners who listens to this show as soon as it's released, you're going to notice it's a couple days early, because yours truly and his family are going to be spending a warm, sun-filled week in Florida starting tomorrow. So you will get this show a couple days early. The next show is going to be a couple days late, but I will try and continue my weekly trend of releasing shows. Thank you again for joining me. Now, on this week's show, last week, and this is if you've ever listened to this show, you know this is a common thread. I talk in the beginning of the show what I'm going to talk about on the show. Half of the stuff I talk about does not even make the show because I go too long. I don't want to put out a 2-3 hour podcast. And honestly, with all the topics I want to talk about during the week, that's what it would really be. So I have to condense it. And this week, I'm going to talk about one thing that I didn't talk about last week, and that's going to be the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident. After I hyped it up at the beginning of last week's show and then didn't do anything with it last week, I had a bunch of people contact me via ghostseeker4@charter.net and say, hey, where was the UFO incident part of the show? Well, it wasn't there. I had to condense it. So this week, I want to put it out because a lot of people do want to hear about this. A lot of you may have heard about this. Some of you may not. I have some audio for you that you're going to have to listen to. So that is coming up in the show. I didn't really want to pull any politics into this, but let's be honest, everything's political nowadays. But something happened this week to my family and essentially every kid in my child's school district. So my kids go to Corunna Public Schools. Corunna, Michigan. It's right outside of Owosso. I kind of live right in no man's land between Owosso and Corunna. But this week, my son comes home and tells me, and he's 11 years old. Now think back to when you were in middle school or elementary school. You'd get a recess. And during recess, if you're a guy, you'd go and you'd run around the blacktop pavement, and you might play football, you might play kickball, you might play tag, who knows what you'd play, but you'd play on that blacktop. If you're a girl, you'd watch the guys try and show off in front of you and just laugh at how stupid and ridiculous these boys act. Well, my son came home and told me that there is now a directive issued by the Corunna Public School Board that no child or no adult in... Listen, I thought the cancel culture could not get any worse, but it has. And this one kind of affects me because it affects my son. But they came out with a directive that says, due to the social injustices around the country today and to harbor a feeling of unity and harmony, no child, no teacher, no adult on school property are now allowed to call. Now remember, we all were kids. We played on the blacktop. We played football, tag, girls laughed at boys. No child, no adult anywhere that is on school property is now allowed to call it blacktop. No, I'm not kidding. You cannot call blacktop, blacktop. There's no answer to what they're supposed to call it. I mean, honestly, you want to call it asphalt? That's kind of offensive to me. You're using the word ass. But literally, what color is blacktop? It's not white. It's not yellow. It's not red. It's black. Somewhere in that school board, somebody thought to themselves, they just called that blacktop. That's offensive. And listen, in Corunna, Michigan, there's not, and this is not meant to be derogatory in any way, shape, or form, but there's not a lot of black people. There's not a black person on that board. So somebody was offended when they heard somebody say, hey, let's go play on the blacktop. They took offense to it. Or somebody that heard that child or the adult say, go play on the blacktop, or that child that said, let's go play on the blacktop. Somebody went to that school board and said, that is offensive. Again, here's my issue. What color is blacktop? It's black. You cannot, just because it's a color, does not make it offensive. What are we going to call black now? Are there not going to be any black and white crayons anymore? What do you call black? Black is essentially the absence of color. So what do we call it? Invisible? What do we call white? Shiny? Somebody's going to find that offensive. Who knows? But somebody actually took offense to the word blacktop. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody on the board was a child once. Everybody on the board has grown up prior to this week uttering the word blacktop. And it never offended anybody. Never. Nobody ever thought of this. But now, because the school board decided to say, you can't use the word blacktop because it's offensive, now you have taken the word blacktop. And you have turned a new connotation to that word. You have now made it so whenever somebody sees blacktop, they think of race. You see where this is going? Do you see how we're being divided purposely? I've said it a million times in the past, and I will continue to say it because it's 110% correct. If you want to end racism in this country, stop talking about race. This is a prime example of how racism is spread throughout this country. A day when kids would never, ever, ever think of blacktop as being racist. Now we have adults who think they're doing a service to these children, that thinks they're doing a service to the community. Now you have these kids putting race in their head. Now I can't call it blacktop. What are you going to call it? Call it asphalt. See how well that works, school board. I can only imagine the words coming out of these kids' mouth. If you can't call it blacktop, you got to call it asphalt. Yeah, let's go play on the asshat. These school board members who were once kids, they played on a blacktop. They called it blacktop because, ladies and gentlemen, that's what it is. It is on top of the concrete. And it's black. Why race is even being brought up in this, why people are offended by this is beyond me, but this is the day and age that we live in America. These school board members that grew up playing on blacktop, they spent their whole adult life living with blacktop as a word, as an actual thing. Never, ever, ever thought anything of it until now. Now it's offensive. Just now it's offensive. Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben's, Dr. Seuss, Pepe Le Pew, you name it. These things were a part of everyday life where nobody thought any ill will or anything racial about them until the cancel culture became prevalent, until the Democrats made it. This is what you need to do. This is how you become woke. This is how you change the country. You make it better for the races. These people are so out of touch with reality. If you are listening to a child talk while on recess and you hear a child go, let's play on the blacktop, and you become offended because they use the word black, you are the problem in this country. Those of us who use the word blacktop use it because it is black and it's essentially a top. We don't use it to disparage a race. Never in a million years would that have crossed our minds until these idiots brought it to our attention. These idiots that in the woke culture literally are making things a million times worse because they are quote-unquote so woke. They are the racists. They are bringing race to the forefront where we can't help but to think of race whenever we do anything now. God forbid you're painting something and you have to use black paint. How do you go to the paint store and say, can I get a can of paint? Yeah, what color do you need? Black? Oh my God. Everybody around you should be offended because that's how this culture and that's how this society is now. They're colors, everybody. You can, listen, I'm brown. There's white people. What color are African Americans? They're black. Let's not deny the facts of what it is. It's going to get to the point where color, it doesn't matter what color anything is. You cannot use color in any way, shape, or form. We're going to have to get really creative, really quick, to figure out how to describe things. Oh, yeah, Mr. Jones' house. Yeah, you go down about four or five houses. He is the... Oh, I can't use brown. That's disparaging against Mexicans. He's got the red. I can't use red. That's anti-Indian. He's got the yellow. Oh, he doesn't. Yeah, yellow car. That's offensive to Asians. Yeah, it's 5:30. Oh, man, he lives on Blackmore Drive. I don't know where he lives. That's about how it's going to be. You can't say anything anymore because everybody's going to be offended because, oh, my God, you said something about color. Ladies and gentlemen, color is all around us, thank God. Just because something is black. I'm looking at my daughter's black dining room table down the basement right now that we're storing for her till she moves out. It's black. It's the table is not offended right now. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you polled black people everywhere and you said, do you feel offended by people calling blacktop blacktop? They're going to say, are you kidding me? Because most African Americans, black people, we'll call them what they are, black people. I'm a brown person. I know a lot of white people. I know some yellow people. I know some red people. It's how they look. It is. You can't deny the facts. But nowadays, we just gloss over facts. Facts don't mean anything. Facts are just inconvenient truths. This is a black person. I shouldn't be ashamed. I shouldn't be afraid, I guess is the better word. If somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I'm looking for a Walter Smith. Do you know who he is? And I'm looking right at him. He's about 15 feet from me. Oh, yes, he's the black gentleman with the blue blazer on. You know what? If he's standing around a bunch of white people, guess what? That person's going to know exactly where to go. Why? Because Walter Smith has black skin. It's not racist. It's not disparaging. It's truth. But now we are so afraid. He's wearing a blue blazer. There's six people there wearing a blue blazer. Which one is he? He's got khaki pants. Four other people have khaki pants. Which one is he? He's got a mustache. Three of them have a mustache. Just go up there and ask for Walter. One of them is Walter. I can't tell you which one. Why? Because it's offensive if I tell you. That is what this world is coming to. And you think I'm joking. Never in a million years would I think that calling something blacktop, which is actually blacktop, would be offensive. But here we are. Corunna School District. You cannot use the word blacktop because it's offensive. Well, what do I call it? Asphalt? Oh, yeah. Put a bunch of middle schoolers on the blacktop and tell them they can't call it blacktop, but they can call it asphalt. Oh, tell me how that's going to go. I was a teenager once. I was in middle school. I know what I would have said. A lot of you listening have either grandchildren or children that are in middle school. What do you think they're going to call it? And then you're going to have these kids sent to the principal's office because, hey, let's go play on the ass hat. Hey, let's go, look it, let's go play on the asshole. This is how it's going to work. So now they can't call it blacktop, but they're going to get in trouble if they call it asphalt because they're saying the word ass. What else are you going to call it? The playground pad. Just call it a blacktop. Call it for what it is. And stop stop messing with these kids' minds. These kids, most kids that age, and if any of these kids are looking at race at this age, there's something wrong. That is their upbringing. 99.9% of the kids that age are not looking at race. They're looking at, hey, he's kind of cool. I want to hang out with him. Doesn't matter if he's white, black, Asian, Mexican, or whatever, Indian, whatever. They want to hang out with him because he's cool. They get along. They don't look at the color. And now you're just force-feeding race and offensiveness and woke culture down their throat. I told my son, I said, I want you to go to school tomorrow, and while you're out on recess, go up to the lunch lady and look her dead in the eye and say, hey, just to let you know, I'm going to play on the blacktop. I sat by my phone at work, looking at it half the day, waiting for the school to call, for the principal to call me up and say, Mr. Velasquez, we have your son here in the office, and he had the audacity to use the word blacktop after we specifically stated that was strictly against district policy and is offensive to the, well, I really can't use the term black people, but to the minority race. So we would like you to come down and discuss this with us. Oh, my God. I would be on the road in 30 seconds. I'd just tell my boss, hey, it happened, because he knew all about it. And he's just like, are you absolutely kidding me? And I told him, I said, I'm waiting for a phone call. I'm waiting for a phone call from that principal to call me in the office. And he says, I got you. I got your back if you go. And I would have gone there, and oh, my gosh, I had everything all in my mind, and they never called. Oh, it was so disappointing. But this is what we're dealing with now. We've got middle school children force-fed, racism rammed down their throat. So when they grow up, what are they going to think? Everything's racism. Everything's racist. Everything. I am terrified of my kids growing up in this generation. Why? Remember the Me Too movement a couple years ago, where if you're 45 years old now, back when you were 7, you said a girl had cooties. That would ruin your adult life. Anything you said as a kid or as a young adult that was looked at as sexist, disparaging, or racist was now going to destroy you as an adult. How many lives were destroyed because somebody in high school said, oh man, that girl's hot. Oh, that's sexist. So now they're being called out for it. People are being called out for tweets that they tweeted 20 years ago or whenever Twitter started. Because everybody's so woke. Nobody anymore can just let it go. And listen, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat. What you said 20 years ago is not who you are now. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Man, I just dated myself. I'm me. Yeah, when I was in high school, I didn't said some stupid things. I'll admit it. Should that ruin my life now? No, because you know what? We've all done stupid things when we were younger. Those stupid things that we did younger made us who we are today. These board members that have deemed it, that have deemed blacktop offensive, they've done stupid things. They've said racist things. So all these times when they go to the store and ask for black paint, when they go and say, hey, let's go play on the blacktop, or they just use any type of color that's derogatory, why are nobody going after them? Why are we subjecting our children to this nonsense? Our children are going to grow up damaged unless we as parents teach them. Listen, you can say blacktop. I don't care if you say blacktop. You can go to the store and ask for black paint. But don't become a racist. People are not judged by the color of their skin. They're judged by their character. You, as a parent, need to teach that to your children. It is not the school's job to do that for you, because the school is going to screw it up. Hence the Corunna Public Schools. The Corunna Public Schools, and listen, it's not just Corunna, it's school districts all over this country, have taken it upon themselves to become the parents to your children. And some of you need parenting classes and parenting skills. But it's not hard. You just talk to your kids. Tell them what's right and what's wrong. I don't need the Corona Public Schools telling my kids, hey, if you say blacktop, that's offensive and you're racist. Who deems who is racist and who's not? Because honestly, in my opinion, all of these people that are out there canceling the culture, canceling everything, Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben's, Dr. Seuss, Pepe Le Pew, I mean, there's so many more. And now you can't call blacktop blacktop. These are the racists. Why? Because they're the one that's just throwing race in our face. Do me a favor. Try this. Stop talking about race. Stop talking about it for a month. And I guarantee you, 150%, you guarantee you what happens? Race doesn't become an issue anymore. We are being systematically divided for a purpose. And we're losing. Because the cancel culture is winning. I mean, I never, ever, ever thought. I thought it went too far when I did my cancel culture show. But this is taking it to a whole new level. Let me know. Contact me 989-607-4722. 989-607-4722. Let me know if you've run into anything like this. It doesn't have to be your kids. It doesn't have to be schools. It can be work-related. I mean, hell, if you work at Coke, oh my God, please call 989-607-4722. Tell me what it's like when your company tells you to be less white. I really want to know from a firsthand experience, or contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net or 989-607-4722. Now, I want to go over an email I got from Harvey Gott. Harvey Gott, if you listen to the show, I did an interview with him just recently. And I mentioned on the last show, you know, I'm torn. I don't know what to do, where to go on this, because I have half my people telling me keep politics, half the people telling me you don't know enough paranormal. Well, Harvey Gott, love this guy. Great guy. And again, if you haven't listened to his podcast, Satire Is Not Dead, do so. He's recording one, I think it's tonight, maybe, or tomorrow night. It's going to be released soon, a brand new show. Harvey's getting back on the bandwagon, and he's going to put out some great podcasts. You need to listen to it. Satire Is Not Dead. But he sent me an email. Tom. I listened to your latest podcast. Thanks for the mention, but more importantly, I'm happy to see other podcasters such as yourself staying off topic. And I read that and I'm like, what? What does that mean? But then I continued to read and it made sense. Too many important topics the mainstream media is avoiding discussing. He then went on to say, I'll be putting out a podcast of my own this week. I will be discussing several important topics as well. Your critique would be most appreciated. Keep up the good work, Harvey. Now, I want everybody to go this week when it's released, go listen to Satire Is Not Dead and give him critique. Let him know how you're doing, because I guarantee you, you're going to love the show. I love Satire Is Not Dead. So that was my rant on additional cancel culture BS, because now it hit home. But before I go to break, I've got to ask one question. Where was all the mass shootings and the shootings in general when Donald Trump was president? I mean, honestly, do you not see the agenda? Do you not see the trend here? Donald Trump was president. I can't think of a major mass shooting at all during his tenure as president. Joe Biden gets in, and not even 60 days during his presidency, we have an Atlanta mass shooting, which, let's talk about the Atlanta mass shooting. This gentleman was a sex addict. He was not a racist. He was a sex addict. And he would go to these massage parlors for, you know, I hate to put it this way, but this is how it is. It's a fact. He would go to these massage parlors for sexual gratification. He realized he had a problem. So what he did is he eliminated that problem. And I'm not making light of this, and I'm not saying this is this is okay because he had a problem. You don't solve a problem like this, but he went to these massage parlors to eliminate the problem. He saw a problem. He saw he had a problem. He was addicted to these massage parlors because they would give him sexual gratification. He didn't like that. He knew he was addicted to it, and he didn't like it, so he shot up these massage parlors. And I'm not condoning this. Don't make it. I can see the hate mail now. Oh, so you're condoning this because of sexual addiction? No, I'm not. There are a million different ways that you could handle this, and this is probably the worst way you could This is the worst way that you could have handled it. His mistake. His bad. He's a jackass. He shouldn't have shot up people. But let's be honest. Who is running these massage parlors? The majority of massage parlors in this country, who runs them? Time's up. Asians. This is not a hate crime. This is not a crime against Asians. Although the media is going to tell you that this is a rising trend against hate crimes against Asians and Pacific Islanders. No. This man had a sexual addiction, and this is how he figured he would cure it, is by shooting up what was giving him sexual gratification. He was trying to eliminate this. And again, I have to reiterate this point because I feel if I don't 50,000 times, I'm going to come down hard on. That didn't sound right. Listen, I'm not condoning the act. I'm telling you facts. And I know facts are scary and everybody's trying to avoid them because it goes against the narrative of today. But facts are facts. Facts are something the news media refuses to give us. The fact is, this man was a sexual addicted pervert. He would go to these massage parlors to get his sexual gratification. He didn't like the fact that he was sexually addicted. So his reasoning, albeit that it's completely wrong, was to go shoot up these massage parlors that are owned predominantly by Asians. This is not a hate crime. You do not see mass shootings just targeting Asians. As a matter of fact, I cannot. If somebody can give me an example, I would love it, because I've done a little research. I've gone back a couple decades, and I didn't see one mass shooting that just focused on Asians or Pacific Islanders. And the reason why is there's no racist, there's no negative feeling towards them. This was an unfortunate incident where this man chose to shoot up massage parlors. Massage parlors are predominantly owned by Asians. But yet the media is out there harping that Asian racism is at an all-time high and we got to stop it. It's not there. But let's move to Boulder, Colorado. Did anybody see the picture of the shooter at the convenience store at Boulder, Colorado, or the grocery store at Boulder, Colorado? Anybody? Have you seen the unaltered version and you see the mainstream media version of that picture? The unaltered version, this man is Arab. 150% Arab. You go and look on any mainstream media site of this guy, they whitened him up. Why? Because it defeats the narrative. He's a Trump-hating ISIS supporter who's a Democrat, who believes in the Democratic values. Ladies and gentlemen, let's look at every quote-unquote mass shooting. Who are the culprits? You know, we are told that guns, the Republicans kill each other and kill people with guns. It's not the Republicans. You look at the dude that shot up the Republican softball or baseball team. You look at the guy who shot Gabby Giffords. You look at the guy who shot up the Pulse nightclub. Hell, look at the lunatic that shot up the concert in Las Vegas. What is the one common thread? They're all Democrats. Again, I ask you a question, and I really want you to think long and hard about this. During the first 60 days of Biden's administration, we have Colorado, we have Atlanta, and I think there was another one. Where was the other one? Oh, hey, listen to the story. Listen, quick story, off topic, but I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to Panama City Beach here tomorrow. And during the night last week, now, first off, again, parenting. Parenting is going to be a big subject coming up because people lost the parenting skill. So in Panama City Beach last week, around 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, there's an 11 and a 14-year-old walking the beach smoking cigarettes. Not a good idea. First off, why are they smoking? Secondly, more importantly, why are they out on the beach at midnight, 1 o'clock alone? Well, this guy comes up and starts following them, and he starts asking them for cigarettes. And the kids say, no, I'm not giving you a cigarette. So the guy tells them, you better run into the ocean before I shoot you. So the kids start running into the ocean. He shoots them. The 11-year-old is wounded. The 14-year-old is killed. This is where I'm going. Thankfully, they caught the guy, so he's off the streets. But why do you not hear about this? Why did we not hear about this during Trump's presidency? Is it any coincidence that now that these are coming out, all of a sudden gun control talk is hot and heavy? Why? Because without mass shootings, people don't give a rat's ass. People are like, no, I don't really care. Keep your guns. I don't care. You're not shooting anybody. I don't care. But now that there's mass shootings, which, listen, I will 100% never, ever believe that these are random. These are planned. These are what they call false flag incidences. Gulf of Tonkin, Battleship Maine, 9/11. These are basically events perpetuated by the government to initiate new policy, to initiate what they want. And right now, the Democrats, they want gun control. Doesn't matter that we have the National Guard surrounding the Capitol with barbed wire and fencing. They're protected, but they want to take away our right to protect ourselves. That's a problem. Again, where were all these shootings when Trump was in office? They're non-existent. Why? Because Trump didn't have an agenda of gun control. His agenda was make America great again. If you want guns, get guns. Protect yourself. Protect your family. The Democrats, and again, to all you Biden supporters, how does this benefit you? How does taking guns out of law-abiding citizens' hands affect you?
Well, they can't go and shoot up anybody.
It's not the law-abiding citizens that are doing it. It's the criminals, the gangbangers who get their guns illegally that are doing all the crime and guns, or all the shootings. It's the Democrat crazies that are going around doing these mass shootings. It's not the Republicans. So you have to ask yourself, what's the end game? What's the agenda? The end game is if they disarm the population, that population cannot rise up against them when they start taking total control. The politicians, they can have security who have guns. They are trying to take away ours. Do you not see a problem with that? Because if the government is the only one with the weapons, who has all the power? An article from Newsmax I read today is that the Secret Service went above and beyond and they tried to hide Hunter Biden's purchase of a handgun. So the same administration that is out to take our guns is letting his son, Joe Biden's son, he can buy a gun, and they're going out of their way to hide the fact that he did. Again, what is wrong with that picture? You can't objectively look at this and say, that's normal. These people do not have your best interest in mind. They want full control. They want to run your life. And if you are against them, they're going to make it hard for you and end your life. I mean, it's as simple as that. And you may say I'm crazy, but let's look at everywhere that communism and socialism has been in place. Those of us who are dissidents vanish. It's a common theme. Russia, China, North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela, we all just go bye-bye in the middle of the night. So we can't talk about this. Our voices are silenced. So the only ones left are the ones that are either too afraid to say something or the ones that are drinking the Kool-Aid, wearing the sheep's coat, and wearing the mask everywhere they go and shaming anyone that doesn't wear a mask because they don't know any better. They're just too blind and too stupid to realize. Lastly, I want to talk to you. You may have heard this, but for those of you who haven't, the Biden administration, I talked about last week how there's a border crisis and nobody wants to talk about it. But the Biden administration is giving $86 million to put these illegal, and I keep wanting to emphasize illegal because that's what they are. There's a proper way to come into this country and an illegal one. They are giving $86 million to these illegal immigrants to stay in hotels. I want you to roll that back. $86 million. Who's paying for that, first off? That would be you and I. I didn't vote for that. I didn't give them authorization. Who gives our government the right to spend my money on illegal immigrants, people breaking the law? Apparently, they don't care. But let's look at this. $86 million. These immigrants are being put up in high-end hotels. I think they're $400 a night or maybe even $1,400 a night. I am going to Panama City. I can't afford $1,400 a night. Where is my money? And some people say, oh, you got the Biden stimulus check. Didn't ask for it. Don't want it. Because as much as they want to say, oh, they're not going to have to pay that back, that's just the generosity of Joe Biden and his administration. Oh, trust me, you're paying for it. It's going to come out of your pocket via gas tax, heating and electrical tax, heating and cooling tax, breathing tax. I mean, it's going to get to that point. You are going to be taxed through the mouth. It's just going to be unbelievable. I've read reports that state in order to pay for what Joe Biden is going to put forth, he wants to do another $3 trillion in spending. In order to pay for this, we are going, essentially, if you work a five-day week, you will get paid for two. The rest of the three are going to be paying taxes. Thank you, Biden voters. Appreciate that. I'm going to be asking you for money because I can't afford to live anymore. But $86 million are going to illegal immigrants to just stay at a cushy hotel to get room service. Meanwhile, our National Guard troops are sleeping on a parking garage floor in Washington. Again, who does that benefit? It doesn't benefit the American people. It sure as hell doesn't benefit the National Guard. It benefits illegals. You have to start looking at it this way. Then you will start seeing that the Democrat Party, they can talk all they want. They will sit and tell you how they're here for the little guy, the middle class, and the wealthy have to pay their fair share. They're wealthy. Trust me, they are very, very wealthy. I don't see them paying their fair share. Most of the Democrats in Washington are paying far less to charities, far less to charities than Republican counterparts because they want to keep that money. Because all they think about is becoming rich, getting richer, and having more power. They can sit there and they can tell you, we're here for the little guy, we're here for the middle class. Look at their actions. What actions are they doing? What do you see the Democrats doing that is going to help you? Raising your taxes? That ain't going to help you. Bringing in more illegal immigrants that you are going to have to pay for? That ain't going to help you. Taking guns out of lawful citizens' hands. God forbid you get in an active shooter situation. Nobody can protect you now. Nobody with a gun can come out and pull it out and disarm or kill that active shooter. That's not going to help you. What are they doing to help you? And then you look at it, turn it around the other way. Does it do anything but give the Democrat Party more power? And that, my friends, is the key. It's all about Democrat power. Raising taxes, taking more money out of your pocket makes you more dependent on the government. So, of course, you are going to vote for the government that's giving you just enough to live by. I don't have to worry too much, but I don't have a great life. But Donald Trump was in office. God, it was great. Oh my gosh, it was great. So they bring in illegal immigrants who are taking up classroom space, taking up health care, taking up food stamps. Man, you're going to have to pay for that because we got to pay for these guys. These guys living in this $1,400 a night hotel need your money. And then you look at, we got to take away the guns from American citizens. Why? Well, there's too many mass shootings. Why wasn't there any with Trump? It's all an agenda. That's all it is. You have to open your mind and see this. So let me know what you think. Contact me at 989-607-4722. Again, 989-607-4722. Leave me a message. Tell me what you think of anything you've heard on this show. So again, this is what happens when I do my show. I have a 15-minute time slot for the cancel culture and Joe Biden, what he's doing on the border and the gun crisis, and it turns into 41 minutes. But that's how it is. We're going to take a quick break, so I want you to sit back, relax, open that mind. We're going to come back and talk about the Rendlesham Forest incident. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Balassus. I will be right back.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
So, it's been over 40 years since the incident called Britain's Roswell took place. So many of you who listen to the show may be encapsulated, enthralled by UFOs, and you may be ufologists, and you may know about Britain's Roswell, or what is called the Rendlesham Forest incident. But I do realize that some of you may be scratching your head going, what the hell is he talking about, the Rendlesham Forest incident? Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Because this is what a lot of ufologists deem is concrete proof of extraterrestrial visitation. So it happened in December 1980, specifically on the nights of December 26th through the 28th of December. Again, it's been almost 40 years. I remember hearing this in the 90s thinking, oh my gosh, that is so cool. It has been going around the UFO community that long. But the Rendlesham Forest incident. Now, let's be honest. In this day and age of UFOs, nothing really has changed. I've talked about disclosure many, many times, and I think it's coming. However, there's still an aura of government cover-ups. You know, there's still an aura, oh, you saw a UFO, you're crazy. Granted, it's a lot less, and, you know, you're looked at with more respectability if you say it now, but back in in 1980, you still had the, if you saw a UFO, you were crazy. Especially if you were a member of the United States military. Literally, reporting a UFO could just kill your career, could jeopardize your career and just destroy it. Everything you work for goes bye-bye because you've seen something you can't explain. Well, that happened over the course of three nights in 1980. December 26th, 27th, and 28th. At Rendlesham Air Force Base. Well, let me change that. The sightings took place near the Royal Air Force Bentwaters and the Royal Air Force Woodbridge bases in the Rendlesham Forest. Now, the Royal Air Force Bentwater base was an airbase used by the United States Air Force during the Cold War, and they used that until 1993. Sections of the U.S. Air Force were stationed at the airbase when the incident in December of 1980 occurred. The witnesses to this incident, to this day, claim that they saw an extraterrestrial craft in the forest of Rendlesham in the month of December 1980. Now, during the first encounter on December 26th, U.S. Air Force officer John Burroughs described agitated animals in red and blue lights that he saw near a farmhouse. John Burroughs was one of the men asked to investigate the strange blue, red, orange, and white lights coming from the forest. In an eyewitness account published in 1981, he said, and I quote, "The woods lit up, and you could hear the farm animals making a lot of noises. You could see the lights down by a farmer's house on the forest's edge. We climbed over the fence and started walking toward the red and blue lights, and they just disappeared." Officer Jim Peniston, who was also a witness to this, he describes a craft made from, quote-unquote, smooth, opaque, black glass. He goes on to say, "I estimated it to be about 3 meters tall and about 3 meters wide at the base. No landing gear was apparent, but it seemed like it was on fixed legs. I moved a little closer. I walked around the craft, and finally, I walked right up to the craft. I noticed the fabric of the shell was more like a smooth, opaque, black glass." Now, these are accounts from two highly respected U.S. Air Force officers. But you could just say they were fabricating the claims. But the morning after the incident, indentations on the forest floor were spotted, as well as damage to the trees in the areas where the lights had been. Radiation levels recorded at the site of the indentations were also reported to be unusually high. Now, if we just take that as it is, we say, yeah, that's pretty odd. But on December 27th, these lights returned. United States Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Charles Halt was ready for these lights, apparently. Known as a pragmatic character, Halt set out to disprove the wild theories during the rounds at the Royal Air Force bases. In other words, Charles Halt was a skeptic. He did not believe the rumors that were going around about these strange lights the night before. Well, when more lights were spotted, he took his tape recorder and joined the military patrol group. What you are going to hear is little segments, the highlights, per se, of the actual audio recorded by Lieutenant Colonel Charles Halt. Now, the whole recording of the incident is literally 17 minutes long, but it encompassed over a couple of hours of interaction with these lights. He would stop and start, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Halt would stop and start the voice recorder. But I'm not going to play it all for you, but in the beginning, he states that the LIDAR is no longer functioning. And the LIDAR stands for Light Detection and Ranging. That is a remote sensing method that uses light in the form of a pulse laser to measure ranges, which variable ranges to the Earth. And it no longer functioned. He'd never seen that before. He'd never seen it since. But during his hunt for these lights, it went out. Now, for the sake of time and for audio quality, because a lot of what he's saying in the beginning is inaudible. You can't understand. There's a lot of static. There's other people talking in the background, and you really can't hear. Just bear with me and understand and believe me that he says the LIDAR is not working. But then as it goes on, it gets more interesting. In the first part of the audio, I'm not going to play it for due to time constraints, but he talks about, and they're looking for the quote-unquote landing site. And then they notice that 3 to 4 feet up on these pine trees, they're damaged. They've been burned, essentially. And they're taking pictures of it, and they're taking pictures of the landing zone, and then the LIDAR starts to kick in again, and they're picking up readings that they've never seen before off of a LIDAR. So you put in the fact that the LIDAR went out, and then it kicks back on, and then they're seeing burn marks and damage to these pine trees 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 10 feet up, and they can't understand what's going on. Listen to this audio as Lieutenant Colonel Halt and the other officers that are with him are describing the damage to these trees. Listen to this.
Okay, why don't you take a picture of that and remember your picture, and you gotta be writing this down. It's gonna be on the tape.
Got a tape measure with you?
This is the picture. Your first picture will be of the first tree, the one between Mark 2 and 3. Meantime, I'm gonna look a couple of these trees over here.
We are getting some.
You're getting readings on the tree you're taking samples from on the side facing the suspected landing site.
4 clicks max.
Up to 4. Interesting. That's right where you're taking the sample now. 4. That's the strongest point on the tree?
Yes, sir. If you come to the back, there's no clicks whatsoever.
No clicks at all on the back. It's all on the
maybe
side
one
facing the... Interesting. The indentations look like something twisted. Is it got, you know, is it sat down on? Looks like someone took something and sat it down and twisted it from side to side.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange.
Well, if it's the same tree we took the sample off with this, what do you call it, star scope?
Uh-huh, star scope.
Yeah, getting a definite heat reflection off the tree about 3 to 4 feet off the ground?
Yes, where the same spot is. It's
same place where the spot is. We're getting the heat.
There's a spot on the tree directly behind us. I picked up the same thing. One off to your right.
All right, look, 3 trees in the area immediately adjacent to the site within 10 feet of the suspected landing site. We're picking up heat reflection off the trees.
Now, keep in mind that this is the next night, 24 hours later, and they're still picking up heat and seeing damage, like twisted damage on these trees. Only on the side where the suspected landing site occurred. If they go to the other side of the tree, it's normal. But they go to the side where the landing site was suspected to have happened, there's damage to the trees, and the trees are still showing heat signatures. So what did they do to the trees? And then the lights start to show up. Strange things that they're seeing don't make sense. And you can pick that up in the audio. You can hear their confusion in their voice. And they're like, this is strange. Listen to the audio from these. Listen, Lieutenant Colonel Halt is a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. He knows that if he starts reporting that he's seeing unidentified flying objects, aliens, his career is over. But he's seeing something he just can't explain. Listen as this escalates into something supernatural.
Hey. You're right. Is there a white streak on the tree?
It indicates,
let me turn around this tree over here now. Just a second. White streak's right on the tree. I can see it. Maybe give me a little sideline so I can find the tree. Okay, off. I lost the tree. Okay, stop. Light off. Hey, this is eerie.
What is the hot spot?
This is strange. Here, someone want to look at the spots in the ground? Whoops, watch your mouth. We're walking all the way back here,
sir.
Okay, let's step back and I'll walk all over. Come back here and somebody put a beam on him. You're going to have to be back 10 or 15 feet. You see it?
Okay, fine.
Okay, lights off.
He took this long to dock.
What do you think about the spot? Right there. Focus. Okay.
they're now seeing the lights.
Starlight scope.
Slight increase in light at spot number one. Let's go look at spot number two. Spot number two is right over here. Right here. See it? Okay, get focused on it. Tell me when. Okay. Lights on. Let's see what we get on it. Well, it really isn't center. It's slightly off center. It's right there. Okay. I'm going to get your reading on it right there.
Okay.
Tell me when you're ready.
You can almost hear the fear in their voice.
Center spot we're looking at now. We're almost center. Slight increase there. This is slightly off center toward the 1-2 side. It's a. Some type of abrasion or something in the ground where the pine needles are all pushed back, and we get a high reading about the deflection of 2 to 3, maybe 4, depending on the point on it.
Yes.
You see there's a positive after effect?
Yes, there is definitely. That's on the seventh spot. There is an after effect.
What does that mean?
The lights are turned off once we are focused in and allow time for the eyes to adjust. We are getting an indication of a heat source coming out of that center spot, as which will show up on
some form of energy. It's hardly heat at this stage of the game.
So what they're saying is 24 hours after they visited this supposed landing spot, there is still a heat source emanating from the ground and from the trees surrounding them. That doesn't happen naturally. Something with a lot of energy, an extreme amount of energy, for lack of a better term, touched down there and is still emanating heat from the ground and the trees.
It is looking directly overhead where you can see an opening in the trees plus some freshly broken pine branches on the ground underneath. Looks like someone came off about 15 to 20 feet up. Some small branches about an inch or less in diameter. Room 148, we're hearing very strange sounds out of the farmer's barnyard animals. Very, very active, making an awful lot of noise.
So now they're starting to hear some agitation from the animals, just like the two officers the night before heard. So does that mean the extraterrestrials are coming? Well, you're going to soon find out.
You just saw a light up there. Where?
Right on this position here, straight ahead in between the trees. There it is again. Watch, straight ahead off left, left right there. So there it is.
Hey, I see it too. What is it?
They see the lights.
Yeah, it's a strange, small red light. You'll see that maybe a quarter to half mile, maybe further out. I'm going to switch off. The light is gone now. It was approximately 120 degrees from the site. Is it back again?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's the flashlight set. This one, back to the edge of the clearing so I can get a better look at it. See if you can get this.
So now the witnesses are starting to see the lights. They saw a red light that all of a sudden blinked out and then came back. Now is really when it gets interesting. Listen to this as Lieutenant Colonel Halt is now seeing something he can't explain. Listen to his reaction and listen to his description of the events.
Get the star scope on it. The light's still there, and all the barnyard animals have gotten quiet now. Yeah, we're heading about 110 to 120 degrees from the site out through to the clearing now. Still getting a reading on the meter, about 2 clicks. We've come 3 to 4 clicks, getting stronger.
Now it's now it's coming up. Hold on, there we go. About approximately 4 foot off the ground. Comes to set of 110 degrees.
4 feet off the ground.
Turn the meter off. Gotta say that again. About 4 feet off the ground, about 110 degrees, getting a reading of about 4 clicks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but
now it's dying.
Now it's dying. I think it's something other than the ground. I think it's something that's something very more.
A tree right over.
We have found the first light bird we've seen. We're about 150 or 200 yards from the site. Everything else is just deathly calm. There is no doubt about it. There's some type of strange flashing red light ahead.
There's yellow.
I saw a yellow
public engine at 2.
Yep.
Weird.
It's weird.
It appears that he may be moving a little bit this way.
Yes,
it's brighter than has been.
Yeah.
It's coming this way.
Awesome.
It is definitely coming this way. Pieces of it are showing off. There is no doubt about it. This is weird.
To the left.
Yeah, definitely.
Two lights. One light to the front,
okay.
One light to the left.
Keep the flashlights off. There's something very, very strange. Keep the headset on. See if it gets any stronger. Okay. Give us your window.
Notation that this is on a beta reading, too.
It's on a beta reading?
The beta
okay.
Still has been removed.
Okay.
Keep in mind, these guys are in the middle of the forest, in the middle of the night, searching for a landing site. And they see things in the trees that they can't identify. They don't understand why 15 to 20 feet above them, the trees are damaged as if something descended into them. And then they start seeing a light, a red light that has a yellow tinge to it. And all of a sudden, this light starts coming towards them. Put yourself in their position. I'd kind of be excited, but I'd also be a little afraid.
Okay. This is what's going off it again.
But it just moved to the right.
Yeah.
Off to the right.
Strange. Well, why don't you do that? Let's approach to the edge of the woods up there. Can we do it without lights? Let's do it carefully. Come on. Okay, we're looking at the thing. We're probably about 200 to 300 yards away. It looks like an eye winking at you. Still moving from side to side. And when you put the sonoscope on it, it sort of has a hollow center, a dark center. It's like a pupil of an eye looking at you and winking. And the flash is so bright to the sonoscope that it almost burns your eye.
He described it as looking like an eye winking at you. And keep in mind, they're noticing this light moving from side to side, moving to the right. And that is important because there's a lot of theories as to what this light could be, but none of them can explain why this light would be moving and blinking like an eye.
Across in the next field. Now we have multiple sightings of up to 5 lights with a similar shape and all, but
5 lights.
Now, rather than a pulsating or glow with a red flash. We just crossed the creek. And we're getting what kind of readings there? Getting through 3 good clicks on the meter, and we're seeing strange lights in the sky. 2 feet further, we're at the far side of the second farmer's field. And made sighting again about 110 degrees. This looks like it's clear after the coast. It's right on the horizon. Moves about a bit and flashes from time to time. Still steady or red encounter. Also, after negative readings in the satellite field, we're picking up slight readings, 4 or 5 clicks now on the meter. 3:05. We see strange strobe-like flashes to the rather sporadic, but there's definitely something, some kind of phenomena. 3:05, at about 10 degrees horizon directly north, we've got 2 strange objects, half moon shape, dancing about with colored lights on them. That gets to be about 5 to 10 miles out, maybe less. The half moons are now turning into full circles. I know there was an eclipse or something there for a minute or two. 3:15, now we've got an object about 10 degrees directly south, 10 degrees off the horizon. And once the north are moving, one's moving away from us.
Moving
out fast.
This one on the right heading away too.
Yeah, we're both heading north.
Okay.
So here he comes from the south. He's coming toward us now. Now we're observing what appears to be a beam coming down to the ground.
A beam coming down to the ground.
3:30, there's 3:30, and the objects are still in the sky, although the one to the south looks like it's losing a little bit of altitude. We're turning around, heading back toward the base. The object to the south is still beaming down lights to the ground. 400 hours, one object still hovering over Woodbridge Base at about 5 to 10 degrees off the horizon, still moving erratic and similar lights and beaming down this area.
You heard the actual audio from Lieutenant Colonel Charles Halt. You heard the fear and bewilderment in his voice as he described a landing area where the trees still were showing heat signatures, where the ground was showing energy, and where 15 to 20 feet above them, the trees were damaged as if something had descended upon them. And then they saw the lights that would wink at them. First one, then two, then five, and then a beam of light coming down as it was coming toward them. This is a lieutenant colonel who in 1980 knew that if he reported a UFO and he released this to his superiors, his career would be over. But yet, he did. This, I believe, was either an extraterrestrial visit or they were the victims of military technology that they had no idea that existed. Now, a couple of things you need to know. Burroughs and Peniston, who were the first witnesses to witness this on the night of December 26th, they suffered post-traumatic stress disorder. In the book, The Encounter in Rendlesham Forest, Peniston wrote, "I left the forest a different man. I was in awe of the technology and, yes, a knowing that it was not an aircraft which could have been manufactured in 1980 or even in the near future." Both Peniston and Burroughs have since suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, The Telegraph, which is a paper in England, reported in 2015, in recent years, Peniston had claimed that the craft telepathically transmitted binary code into his brain. Now, Burroughs, Peniston, and Colonel Halt have been the most vocal in saying they believe that they saw an extraterrestrial craft in origin, but they are not the only eyewitnesses. Sergeant Adrian Bastiza, a security police commander who investigated the incident at the time, said, "When I arrived at the scene, it was going on." He claimed that the craft, the light, was going in and out through the trees, and at one stage, he saw the light hovering. Now, why is that important? That's because some UFO skeptics, let me get my notes here, some UFO skeptics believe the sightings were caused by a meteor, an atmospheric distortion, while others have suggested that the sightings may have been caused by the nearby Orfordness Lighthouse. Now, what that doesn't explain is how they saw this craft move from left to right, how it was moving toward them, how it was hovering and then moving and rising in altitude. There are a lot, and listen, in 1980, the UFO community was extremely different than it was today, than it is today. Back then, the government would do anything possible to just disenfranchise, to just blow away any type of UFO sighting by giving it the most ludicrous explanation in the world, and people would buy it. Oh yeah, that's a lighthouse. But they don't take into effect that you have a lieutenant colonel and officers who know that if they report and they agree that, yes, I saw this, I saw an unidentified flying object, their career is done. In recent years, statements from radar operators have corroborated Colonel Halt's claims. Colonel Halt has gone on record as saying, as per the BBC, Lieutenant Colonel Halt claimed that he had not wanted to come forward until he had retired from their military roles. He said, "I have confirmation that Bentwater radar operators saw the object go across their 60-mile, which is 96 kilometers, scope in 2 or 3 seconds. That is thousands of miles per hour. He came back across their scopes again, stopped near the water tower. They watched it and observed it go into the forest where we were." So prior to Lieutenant Colonel Halt and his officers seeing this, the radar officers picked this object up, going thousands of miles an hour, going back and forth until it centered on Lieutenant Colonel Halt and his officers. And that's where the Rendlesham Forest incident goes away. Some people say it is a definitive proof of alien contact. Other people say, well, it's just a misidentification. It's a hoax. Other people say, hey, look, Bentwaters, Woodbridge Air Force Base, they were known to have secret military technology. And that is where I have my toss-up. I am a firm believer in the phenomenon of UFOs. Do I believe that Lieutenant Colonel Halt saw an unidentified flying object? Absolutely. 150% yes. Was it extraterrestrial? Probably. Was it military technology that we don't know about? Well, in 1980, think about 1980. How old were you in 1980? What was the technology like? Now, I understand that Skunk Works and, you know, the Black Projects, we are like 10 years behind of what the military really has. But that just puts us to 1990. We did not have the technology to move thousands of miles an hour. We did not have the technology to do what these craft were stated to do. I firmly, 150% believe this was one of the first cases I researched as a ufologist because I thought it was so intriguing and so believable. I firmly believe that these officers and this lieutenant colonel saw unidentified flying objects that were, in a sense, extraterrestrial. Whether they were from another planet, another dimension, another time, I don't have the answer to that. But listen, these are military personnel that put their careers on the line. Two of them suffered post-traumatic stress disorder because of what they saw. What they saw scarred them to the point that they could not process it. They couldn't comprehend it, and they couldn't cope with it. You don't do that just by seeing a lighthouse. You don't see that by seeing a meteor. You do that by seeing something you cannot explain, and it scared you and scarred you for life. So if you've heard of the Rendlesham Forest incident, contact me and let me know what you think. Or if this is the first time you've heard the audio, let me know what you think. Contact me at 989-607-4722. Again, 989-607-4722. Or ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, that email address is ghostseeker4@charter.net. If you choose to use the hotline, which I wish you would, please just call it and leave a message. You know what's going to happen. You're gonna get your 15 minutes of fame. It's as simple as that. So, I hope you enjoyed the early episode this week, because next week I'm probably going to be a little late because I'm not leaving until early Saturday morning. We're driving straight through, but that means I'm going to get here Sunday, maybe in the middle of the morning, early afternoon. I'm going to be exhausted. I may not do a show until Monday or Tuesday of next week. We'll see. You'll see when I post it. But I hope you enjoyed this show. Contact me again, the Paranormal Patriot Hotline, 989-607-4722. Leave a message, please. Or you can contact me the old-fashioned way, ghostseeker4@charter.net. So again, I hope you enjoyed this show. I really had fun doing this show. I can't believe how much fun I had doing this show. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be back next week.